You guys just saw that video. That was kind of our wrap-up video for the series. The curriculum there that we use is called YM360, Youth Ministry 360. They do a great job of that, putting those things together. And so because of that, and because of what they've already talked about, they've already had their small group this morning. So I'm going to kind of expound a little bit on this idea of persecution. Because what we've already talked about to this point, in session one, they got into this whole idea of being relentless no matter what. Now, that can include all kinds of things. It can include persecution, but sometimes it has nothing to do with persecution, right? It can be time change Sunday, you know, or just rainy and gross outside, I'm not trying to embarrass her. I absolutely love her. But, you know, my wife left her sunroof open last night. You wake up to that. You're ready to leave for church, and instead, you got to catch a ride, thankfully, with a daughter who has a car, okay? So whether or not, like, things are going just out of plan, out of sorts, how it just shouldn't be like that, right? Or maybe you've got a loss, or maybe you've got some kind of tough financial time. Something like that, staying relentless no matter what, because God cares way more about us being holy, like his son Jesus, being set apart, than our happiness, which is that temporal state of whether or not we feel good about what's going on with our situation or not, right? Because he's there to give us joy. And then we talked about staying relentless in sharing our faith and following through with that. In fact, we just ended a study just this past month on how to share our faith, and really how that's tied into us using our personal story, our testimony. That's what Paul did. Anytime he shared the gospel, he interwove part of his story, even if it was just a brief glimpse. He said something about himself to tie that thing in to drive home the point that he is just merely a human who is serving a perfect God that they also need to know, and how we can use that story of whatever God's done in our heart to keep moving forward and allow him to speak through us into the lives of other people. But then, as you guys just saw, then now we're going to talk about this less fun topic of persecution. Staying relentless in that. Actually, if you want to go back, sorry. And this was our working definition, basically, of being relentless and what relentless kind of meant, because it can be kind of like a negative thing, right? Like you just say, like the weather outside is just relentless. Like it just, like that rain just won't stop, right? Like it's just, like just cut it out already. Stop being winter, you know? Like just stop it. Like you gave us a little bit of spring, bring back spring right now, you know? Like it's just relentless, right? You know, so it can feel bad. But sometimes relentless isn't necessarily a bad thing, especially whenever it comes to our faith. It says not easing up or slowing down. This is a simple definition of it. But then, where we really try to dig into, especially what we talked about this weekend, is this idea of unyielding strength. It doesn't mean that you don't have moments or brief periods where that strength is hard to tap into. It just means that, for the most part, the pattern of our lives, for the most part, the way that we live our lives day in and day out, even though there's moments, for the most part, we're just carrying on. Even if we fall, we pick ourselves up, we dust ourselves off, and we keep moving forward because we understand where our strength comes from. It doesn't come from ourselves. And we don't have to do this alone. We don't have to do this alone. And so this morning, we're going to dive into this idea, go ahead, of being relentless in persecution. But we're going to look at a passage, and one of the things that we need to kind of clarify just a little bit here is that it doesn't actually say the word persecution. But this is exactly what Peter is talking about. Go ahead. Because this is that first blank for you blank people, for you type A people. We're going to fill in these blanks, okay? So just, if I miss one, just raise your hand and we'll go and back up, okay? But suffering because of Jesus equals persecution. Now, there are different levels of suffering. Suffering of loss, suffering of things are outside of your control, things that you cannot handle. There's all kinds of reasons for suffering and reasons why God allows those things, right? And sometimes we don't necessarily know all the reasons why. But what we're talking about here and what this passage is talking about, what we're going to get into is this idea of persecution, or this idea of suffering by way of persecution. Suffering in the name of Jesus. And there's actually another side where there is also another form of suffering that is not because of Jesus, and it's more on us. But we're going to talk about that here in just a minute. But go ahead and look at 1 Peter chapter 4. We're just going to start off with the first couple verses of 12 and 13. We're going to go down to verse 19. But let's go ahead and look at this first part. It says, Beloved. Well, first of all, let's go ahead and stop there. So he's talking to who? He's talking to believers. He's talking to Christians. He's not talking about just to the average person out there. He's talking about to the follower of Christ, those who are beloved of God, who are followers of Jesus, who are his children. He says, Do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. So the first things first here that we just kind of have to look at is just to kind of unpack a little bit of this, is this idea of how to relentlessly move through this idea of persecution. In other words, to not give up, to have unyielding strength in the face of persecution. Now, this is not like an exhaustive thing. There's all kinds of ways that God can strengthen us and give us things. There's just hopefully going to be some helpful things that we can see from God's word in this passage that will just kind of help us out along the way. But the first things first, number one, is this. We first have to examine how you are suffering. Of the how. That's one of the first questions. And we see in those couple of verses there, you got to look at this idea. It says, don't be surprised, okay? This idea is being bewildered, being shocked, being amazed, you know. And whenever you have this kind of attitude, whenever it comes to suffering because of your faith, like, sometimes it can take us back, right? Like, I was just trying to share my faith with this person at work. Now, all of a sudden, their attitude towards me has completely changed. You know, I was just trying to simply just do a nice thing for somebody else in the name of Jesus, and they asked me why I was doing that nice thing for this person, and I shared the reason why I was doing that, and they were with me, and they were so thankful. But whenever I shared that, my reasons with them, all of a sudden, now their attitude towards me has completely changed. Their actions towards me has completely changed. And it can take us back, right? Like, you can, like, be like, oh, my goodness, I didn't really kind of see that coming, or maybe you're not ready for it, or maybe you expected something different from that person. Or maybe even you thought that person with you, that person in your family, that person at work, that person at school, that person that you're very close with was also a follower of Christ, and you start getting serious about your faith, and then all of a sudden their attitude towards you changes. And it can take you back. But what this passage is saying, don't be shocked by it. Don't be surprised by it. In fact, Jesus said, in this life, you will suffer. You will have persecution. You will have those times. It's going to happen. It's an inevitable thing, especially for the follower of Christ. But whenever we continually turn towards that attitude of shock and awe and wonder, like, why is this happening to me? Oh, my goodness. In kind of this, you know, bewilderment, then you're actually, first of all, ignoring what God's word says about the promise that suffering will come and that persecution will come, but you're also turning your heart towards this expectation that I'm a Christian. I've got God as my Father. He's the one I'm following. I thought life was supposed to be all roses and great. And whenever I live for Jesus, this all of a sudden, the entire room just turns to him and turns into flowers and sunshine. And then everyone just starts worshiping Jesus on their knees. Isn't that what's supposed to happen? Well, that would be great if it did, right? And it should, by the power of God, right? Like, his power can do that. But what's actually usually going to happen? You might have some hearts that are completely impacted by your lifestyle, absolutely. But then you're going to have some hearts that are completely hardened. And that might even hate you because of it. It's like, I'm doing good for them. I'm helping them. I'm loving them. I told them I was praying for them. And now they're cussing me out. They've turned on me. And whenever you at least have that, like, that can happen kind of expectation, you hope not, but it can happen, then you're ready for whatever comes your way. But whenever you don't have that, then you'll be like, well, I thought it was going to be better. And then you start having this attitude of resentment towards your own faith. Like, it just keeps on being hard. I keep on living for Jesus, and it just keeps getting harder. I keep talking more about Christ, and they keep turning their back even more on me. My family hates me even more now than what they did before. And they really hated me before. Now they really hate me. Like, what's going on? And it can really shock us and then turn us towards resentment and bitterness. And he's saying, don't be surprised. That's the way that the world works. That's the way that the world treated me. That's the way the world's going to treat you. A servant is no greater than who? The master. And he's our master. They treated him that way. He's going to treat us that way as well. But also it says the fiery trials. Don't be shocked by the fiery trials. Well, first of all, you know, this kind of goes back to some scriptural thoughts, but essentially it's this. It's this attitude of refining, because it talks about this testing, right? It says these things that come along to test you, these fiery trials. It's like putting metal in, you know, like a furnace, and you melt it down, and I don't know what that process is called. It's called something. Some of you other people know that. Don't correct me. Okay, all right. But basically, you just melt it down. You get all the impurities out of it, and you purify that metal, right? Or you take a plot of land, and you know, you purposely set it on fire to clear out the land, to get rid of all the stuff that doesn't belong in there, so you can get it ready for the future, for crops and other things. I know that's also a process too. Don't tell me what that's called, because I don't care. Okay, all right. But that's called something. And all of that is a refining process. And that's what God does with us through these trials. He tests us. He purifies us. He get, you know, through these things that so are so uncomfortable, it gets us stronger in him and gets us ready for more growth. It makes us more pure in him and closer followers with him. But it also may also possibly be speaking of this idea of torture. Because what were happening to the early Christians, those, especially in this time, whenever Peter was writing this book, what was happening to some of the Christians in the courtyards of the rulers of that area? Some of them were being dipped in tar and dipped in inflammable liquids and being used and set on fire because of their faith to illuminate the courtyards for these unbelievers who would mock them and ridicule them as they were painfully dying for their faith. So it could be talking about that as well, and shining light on like how serious these trials really can be. And listen, this idea of suffering may not ever come in the form of you getting set on fire, but it could. We are so spoiled in this country to have a society, at least where for now we can freely come together and worship in these kind of settings, right? And even across the street, it's going on over there. Down the road, it's going on there. Down the street, it's going on there. It's happening all over, right? Like we're able to do that. But is it happening like that all across the world? Like we sit there and we pitch a fit and we moan about the state of our country now and all this. You realize even though it's going great in one area of the world, it's not always like that in the others for Christians. That's the way it's always been. Always. Christians are being beheaded, they're being tortured, they're being imprisoned, they're being put to death for their faith. So it can happen. But anything short of that, is it not persecution? Absolutely. Being ridiculed, being mocked, being torn down for your faith, being purposely placed as an outcast, left out, is a form of persecution. As severe as being put to death? Absolutely not. But socially, it can ruin us every single day. Socially, it can put us in that spot where we just feel like just giving up. Because what was once a great relationship, what should have been a great situation at work, what should have been a great situation at school or with those friends or in that family setting, all of a sudden it turns to volatile. Where all of a sudden these people are speaking terrible things of you. But it says we can also rejoice in that. How is that even possible? Well, this is something much more than just a mind trick. It's moving from this idea of shock to joy. This idea of bewilderment, of like, I can't believe that this is happening, to understanding, no, this is a real possibility. In fact, it will happen. It's just a matter of time if it hasn't yet. And understanding what you're doing it for and understanding what's actually really going on. Because he says whenever we do that, we are actually doing what? Sharing and participating in even what Christ went through. And whenever we suffer, whenever we go through those things, understanding we are not alone in the midst of that. In fact, we're actually growing closer to Jesus in those moments. We're becoming more like him in those moments. We're actually sharing and participating and fellowshipping in his suffering. Because what was one of the nicknames of the Savior? He would be a man of many joys and grateful days and yippees. A man of sorrows. If that was his life, how can we expect any less? And he lived perfectly. He wasn't boneheads like me and you who keep screwing up and like showing bad examples of what it means to live for God. And he did it perfectly, and they still killed him. So why would we expect anything at least less than ridicule, mocking, some jokes? Being left out, being talked about. How can we expect any less? Because we're identifying with Christ. But then going on, you got 1 Peter 4, 14 through 15. We're going to move a little faster now. It says, if you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed. Again, this idea of understanding why we're doing this. Because the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. All right? And I love that word there, meddler. That just sounds, it sounds like old school and everything. I've heard that a lot. But anyway, I'll talk more about that here in just a second. But that second question, or that second thing we need to look at is this. You need to ask, why am I suffering? Why am I suffering? If we're going to be able to be relentless in our faith, we got to understand, okay, I'm experiencing suffering in the situation. I have this happening at work, I have this happening at school, I have this happening in my friend group. Something's going on here, but why exactly am I suffering? Let me just make sure that I'm on the right page here and what's actually really going on. Because sometimes we say things that we probably shouldn't say. We do things that maybe we probably shouldn't do. And then all of a sudden something comes on us and we try to label it as, oh, well, you know, they're just being that way, and we don't realize we're actually the source of our own suffering because we did something stupid. Like we said something we shouldn't have. We did something wrong. We totally forgot something. We left somebody out. You know, and so you got to ask this question, exactly why am I suffering? It's a very fair question to ask. Well, whenever we do that, if you look at that passage again in 14, it says you're insulted, in other words, slandered. This is an idea of being dismantling a person's character with false information, okay? Or basically we're doing this because whenever we live out for Christ, we end up suffering because of that. They start speaking bad because of Christ, not because we're just a jerk, maybe. Have you ever known Christians who weren't very nice? They're like, well, I told those people the truth. I told them that they were going to die and go to hell because they're all a bunch of filthy sinners. And then now they don't like me. I wonder why. If that's our attitude, if that's actually how we said it to them, I wouldn't like you either. Like, you shouldn't be liked, you know? You walk around like with a pruned face all the time. Act like you're baptized in lemon juice. You ever seen those people? They're all pruned up. They're all sucker face. You're just like, what's going on? Do you not have any joy in your life at all? And then they go and, you know, and they're living their life, but it's like they're living their life for Jesus angry. You ever seen that? Yeah, I'm going to go serve. I'm not happy about it, though. You know, I'm in service. You better bless me, Pastor. And they sit there with their arms crossed. You know, it's just like, what's going on? It's like, it's this attitude, and you carry that out throughout the world. And the world's out there just saying, no, actually, if you were a nice Christian, I would treat you better. But you're mean, you know? So why are you actually really suffering? It says, let it not be because you are an evildoer or even a meddler. You know what a meddler is? Someone who sticks their nose in places where they shouldn't. Christians are some of the most gossipy people in the world. And they'll hide it under the guise of, oh, I'm just sharing prayer requests, right? It's like, that's garbage. You just had a hot bit of information, and you couldn't wait to share it with somebody, okay? All right, now listen, I say that, I'm pointing at myself too. Like sometimes, it's like, I'm just itching to share, like, oh my goodness, I can't believe she said that. I got, you know, and it's tempting, right? But let not your suffering come because of those silly things or even those serious things, because of your negative attitude towards everybody and your judgmental attitude. Or let it not happen because you are a hypocrite, because you're not living right for Christ, and then you try to start telling people about Jesus, and then they start treating you like a hypocrite because you're purposely doing whatever you want to and then also trying to share the gospel. That doesn't work like that. There's a difference between us screwing up, owning that, and even admitting that to other people, and then sharing the grace of God with them in spite of our sin. That's totally different than purposely not owning up to our sinfulness and turning back to God, having a repentant heart and a humble spirit, and saying, listen, I'm not perfect. I keep screwing up, but it's not about me being perfect. It's about you coming to know a perfect Christ. And if that's how we're suffering, because that's what we're sharing, or that's how we're serving, that's entirely different. So why are you suffering? Are you known or marked by, it says that because you should rejoice because you got the Spirit of God living in you. Whenever we've got the Spirit of God, even if we're not living perfectly, it will be evident to the world around us by His grace, by His power in us, and people will see that, and that'll be attractive to them. Even if they're kicking us and mocking us, they'll see there's still something different about them. It makes me mad and I don't like it, but there's something different about them. Even that's possible. It'll be marked more by the Spirit than our sin. So is that the case? But then going on, last little part, 1 Peter 4:16-19 says, yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name, for it is the time for judgment to begin as the household of God, and if it begins with us, which it will begin with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel? Go on. And if the righteous are scarcely saved, in other words, by God's grace alone, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. And so whenever we look at this, we understand that as gracious and as loving as God is, God also has wrath and judgment as well. God doesn't have to love us, but He chooses to. But also He says, but the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord, right? It's wrath, it's judgment, which we deserve, and there's also grace and mercy. Both are there, both are evident. That's what makes God an unchanging God. He's never changed. Old Testament, New Testament, He's still the same God. And if our attitude is this, that God of the universe who loves us so much is there for us, He can have a plan for us, He can lift us up, He can forgive us of all things are redeemable underneath the name of Christ. If all that is completely true, then it is also true if they do not turn, if somebody does not turn to Him, then exactly what God said will happen. They will spend eternity apart from Him in a place called hell. And if that is the reality, that should shape whether or not we live out for Christ, whether or not we take persecution, and how much persecution we are willing to take for the sake of other people around us. And so, number three, we got to remember this, who you are suffering for. We got to remember who we're suffering for. Because it says in that passage, who are we suffering for? Remember, we're suffering for the glory of ourselves, so that we can be looked at as this poor, pitiful martyr. Oh, sweetie, I know how hard a time you're having there and getting petted, you know, all the time. Now, is it great whenever somebody comes alongside of us and encourages us? If another fellow believer sees the hard time that we're having, comes alongside us and prays for us, absolutely. But sometimes that's almost the reason why we're actually doing it, is because every time I live for Christ and I do something good, I serve for Him, or I live this out in like a hostile environment, those other Christians just keep patting me on the back and talking about how great I am, and that makes me feel good. And some of you might be saying, like, who in the world would do that? Everybody. We all have those tendencies to do that, to put ourselves. Preachers have a tendency to do that, right? It is so hard to get up and to preach a message. And listen, I'm just going to be very vulnerable, like, and to preach a message, to do something for the glory of God, to sing songs for the glory of God, to serve, to make sure that sound, that all the stuff happens for the glory of God, to serve food for the glory of God, to host a home for the glory of God, to do things for kids, for elderly people, for the glory of God. And then people come up to you afterwards and thank you for such a great job, even if we didn't do a great job. It still makes us feel good, right? Like no matter what, like it just makes us feel good. And in those moments, there's always that temptation to be like, yeah, I did do pretty good, didn't I? That was pretty awesome of me. You know, I mean, I felt kind of bad about it, but that's like the third person who's come up in like 2 minutes to say something about it. Man, I'm pretty awesome, you know? Like, that's like a, you know, an exaggerated form of it, but yet sometimes that's in our heart. And it's hard to push that off to the side, isn't it? It is. So who are we actually suffering for? And listen, and I say that because we've been talking about, as students, sharing our faith, and I shared this with the band and the sound team yesterday, that listen, sometimes being persecuted, you would rather do that than share your faith with somebody. Because being persecuted is something being done to you, and you just take it, right? If you got to share your faith, who's doing the action? If you're living for Jesus on purpose and sharing the faith and actually using words to share that faith with somebody else and to witness to somebody, who's doing the action? The other person? No, you are. Some people would much rather die for their faith than talk about their faith because it's too scary. And that's a scary thing. And so who are we actually doing this for? We understand that whenever we live, first of all, it's for the glory of God, but the point underneath here is we've got to care more about God's glory than our comfort. And that is so hard. Is it wrong to be comfortable? Is it wrong? Like, is it wrong to have things? Are you comfortable right now? I hope so. Like, some of you are like, no, I've been yelling about the temperature in here since the start of the service. Okay, I'm sorry. I can't help you, okay, all right? But other than that, are you comfortable? You got some nice cushions to sit on, don't you? Is that wrong? Should we just, like, torture ourselves? Let's rip these, you know, like all this, you know, stuff off the walls. You know, let's get rid of that AC. Let's just suffer for Jesus in here, right? Like, no, it's not wrong, is it? Like, it's fine. That's okay. It's okay to have nice things. It's okay to have cushions on the seats. It's okay to have temperature-controlled rooms. That's fine. But what's more important, God's glory or our comfort? Sometimes we start saying, oh, yeah, it's fine, but it's not only just fine, it's central. Not only is it fine, it's the reason why I'm here is my comfort. I'm not comfortable with the way that person's dress. I'm not comfortable with the way that person looks. I'm not comfortable with those seats. I'm not comfortable with that style of music. I'm not comfortable with those screens, with the lights. I'm not comfortable with the way, you know, things are around here, because that's not the way that I think that they want to be. But if you realize it's not about me anyway, that stuff is not only secondary, but completely sometimes unnecessary, then we realize, who is it actually about? Well, it's about Jesus. And in fact, actually, it's so little about me, it's not only completely about Jesus. Second, it's also about others. You ever heard the word joy as like an acrostic of how to find joy? Jesus, others, and who's last? Yourself. It's so little about me, I'm putting myself last. Not that I don't think about myself, it's just that if I'm not thought about Jesus first, and then others before me, I'll never have joy. And that's what I'm trying to do. And so whenever we understand that sometimes even our very pain can be used for others' good, and that's what we're trying to do out in this world. It says to continue on doing good. That's what he says. He says, entrust your souls to a faithful creator while doing good. In Matthew 5:16, Jesus, he's preaching the Sermon on the Mount whenever he said, let your light shine before the entire world that they may see your good deeds, your good works, and glorify who? You? Me? Glorify who? Who are they going to turn towards? Towards God. It's all about Him. So even in our suffering, even if our suffering causes other people to come to know him, are we willing to go through that suffering for the sake of others' good? Are we willing to do that? If that's our mindset, if that's what we're actually thinking, that other people may actually come to know Christ and not die and go to hell, then maybe I'll handle a little bit of ridicule. Then maybe I can handle a little bit of dysfunction within my family because I'm a Christian. Maybe I can handle a little bit of uncomfortability in that social setting, at school, on that ball team, so that other people can see the glory of God in me and not me. Maybe that's worth it. We are never more like Jesus than whenever we actually try to live like he did. But according to this passage, we're even more like him whenever we suffer like him. Are you willing to suffer? And I'm going to tell you, if your Christian life has been very easy up to this point, no matter how old you are, you might not be doing it right. Are you willing to suffer? Doesn't have to be in huge ways, but are you willing to suffer for him? And that last point, go ahead. Because through it all, whenever we identify with him, again, we get closer with him. So therefore, we can trust that the one who led us to suffering, because who's in control? Are we in control? God's in control of it all. We got to trust. He led us to it, whether he allowed it, whether he, you know, pushed us towards it because, you know, we're actually following him. No matter how it occurred, no matter what happened, he led us to it. But we can also understand he led us to that suffering. He will lead us in the midst of that suffering. Not maybe necessarily out of the suffering, because does that always happen? Does he lead us out of it? Sometimes he allows it to stay, right? But he can lead you in the midst of it. So how relentless are you willing to be no matter what's going on within your life? Because it all comes down to our point of view, asking these questions, like, how am I suffering? Why am I suffering? And us remembering, who am I really suffering for? So as the band comes up, they're going to lead us in one last song. But this is a time of invitation for you to respond to that. And listen, this is a different kind of thing. This might not even necessarily be for everybody in the room, but it could be exactly for somebody in this room. I know for a fact it's for our students, because this is what they're facing on a daily basis. It's not getting easier to live for Jesus. It's getting harder. And they need to have the tools and the mindset of how they can continue being relentless, even in the face of relentless persecution. But what are you doing? How comfortable is your faith? How comfortable your faith is might speak to how much you're actually willing to speak out and live out for it. If you're too comfortable, you might not be too much like Christ. But if you are you going to be able to continue moving forward? Hopefully, maybe this encouraged you today. So this altar is open for anybody who needs prayer. Obviously, if you need to come to know Christ, then this can be a moment where you can do that. Because you've been talking about suffering, maybe you just need a true relationship with him to start off with. But then understanding that as well, maybe you're a young Christian or maybe you've been a Christian for a while and you want to start living more on fire for him, more relentlessly, but you've been holding back out of fear, then maybe this message helped you a little bit. Then it's your time to respond. Let's go ahead and stand and have a word of prayer, and then this altar will be open after I pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, God, so much for this morning. We thank you, God, for your spirit. Thank you, God, so much. It is a common spirit that indwells all of us who are truly your followers, God. And so you're trying to do this same work, not just in my life, not just in these students' life, in the senior adult's life, in that parent's life, in that young adult's life. No matter who we are, God, you're working. And God, I just pray that you would work this morning. And if somebody needs encouragement, if somebody needs extra prayer this morning, I pray that they would respond. If somebody needs a relationship with you, I pray that they would know that this altar is open. They can come and talk to me or talk to Pastor Tony about that relationship, coming to know you and what that really means. But God, if that person is in a dark time, maybe they have been suffering, maybe they're going through something else that's causing other forms of suffering and they just need a word of encouragement, I pray, God, that they would come forward as an act of surrender, an act of just letting go of that and understanding who's really in control and who's always there, even in the midst of our suffering, and that's you, the God of the universe. and is going to lay it down at your feet this morning. God, we pray that you would work and that we would be faithful to respond the way that you would have us to. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's all through.